Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Fast Amai, good evening. At 5:10, this is Update for Tuesday, 23rd of April, 2024 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the island. Background to that news, we've got sport and business and travel updates and the newsmakers in person this evening. Chief Minister says the economy is not in the same context as it was. The latest on the Braddon Roundhouse, taxi fares are going up and the night fares are drawing in. Government's Listening to You roadshow was in the south last night, and TT champion Ben Birchall prepares for a new chapter.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fast Amai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fast Amai, good evening. Health Minister Laurie Hooper says preparation work is underway by Braddon commissioners to build an access route to their roundhouse after his department shut off the road. In response to a question asked in the House of Keys by Chris Thomas, he says it shouldn't be left to the government to solve the local authorities' problems. The commissioners say the site has been cleared, but no further approval has been given to go on the site and is waiting for a licence or land agreement to do more work. If you're getting a taxi at night, you'll now have to pay the higher rate an hour earlier than before, after the body that sets prices made a series of changes. The Road Traffic Licensing Committee hiked its tariffs this week, as well as bringing Tariff 2 into force from 11pm instead of midnight. And an MHK is demanding a change to the thresholds for public sector housing. Onkin member Rob Collister has written an open letter to the Infrastructure Minister, saying the current limit on how much you can earn has been set too low. Further afield, Rishi Sunak's committed to an extra £75 billion in defence spending over the next 6 years, describing the world as at the most dangerous it's been since the end of the Cold War. 2.5% of the UK's gross domestic product will be put aside by 2030. It's estimated UK authorities brought ashore around 200 suspected migrants in Dover this morning. Five people died, including a child, when a boat got into trouble off the coast of France. And Glastonbury Festival founder Michael Evis has been knighted for services to music and charity. The 88-year-old dairy farmer received the honour from Princess Anne at Windsor Castle. There are your headlines. Rob will have your news at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on powers of attorney and more. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramayet, thank you, Siobhan, from the Ronaldsway Met Office. No wind warning out in the North Irish Sea. State of sea smooth or slight, occasionally moderate. And the weather this evening, well, take a look outside. It's a gorgeous evening, dry with late sunshine. Clear spells overnight and a light to moderate wind coming in from the northeast. Overnight minimum 3 degrees and perhaps some frost in frost hollows. For Jacrane, Wednesday dry with sunny spells, a light northeasterly becoming variable. Daylight maximum 11 tomorrow, down to 5 through the night. Into Thursday, Jourdain, dry and cloudy and a light to moderate northwesterly and up to 10 Celsius. Tide still on the way out for the next hour or so. Low waters 28 minutes after 6. Sunset 23 minutes before 9 tonight. The late high water 27 minutes past midnight. Sunrise 5 to 6 tomorrow morning. And the morning low water at 6:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674 573.
The Chief Minister insists the Isle of Man's economy is not in the same context as it was 18 months ago. His words, Alfred Cannon's been answering questions in the House of Keys about the Isle of Man's hospitality sector. In one supplementary question, he was asked whether his government's position is that the cost of living crisis is over.
Depends what definitions you put around it. I absolutely, as I've said, fully recognise the pressures that industry is under. Inflation has come down considerably from the position that it was. The volatility volatility of energy prices has reduced significantly. There have been plenty of hangovers from that, and we know that the economy is still continuing to adjust. It's certainly not in the same context as it was a year and 18 months ago when Russia chose to invade Ukraine and really kicked off this sort of post-COVID economic adjustment and saw these dramatic increases in prices. There's a lot more stability forecast in the market from where it was 12 to 18 months ago. But that does not mean to say that a lot of business and a lot of families and a lot of our constituents are still not feeling the after effects of that.
Does the Chief Minister agree with me that while inflation is down, this doesn't mean the cost of living crisis is over? In fact, the lower inflation rate does not mean prices are falling. They are still rising, just at a slightly slower rate.
Well, I've been in politics 13 years, Mr. Speaker. We know large percentages of people have times in their lives or consistently, you know, need government support and focus to try and make things better for them. So there's a heavy responsibility, and that responsibility lies both in creating the economic framework for businesses to succeed, ensuring that government money is spent supporting and delivering the best in services, because all these elements come together to make people's lives better. There is never a moment, I think, that government should ever consider that the financial circumstances for people in our society is such that it's not needing constant attention and care.
Health Minister Laurie Hooper, MHK, says preparation works underway by Braddon commissioners to build an access route to the Roundhouse after his department shut off the road. In a response to a question in Keys asked by Chris Thomas, MHK, he says it shouldn't be left to the government to solve local authorities' problems.
There is no council minister's policy on access to the Roundhouse. Council ministers have considered the issues with the Roundhouse following representations from Braddon commissioners and the public interest in the matter. Various departments, including the Department of Health and Social Care, the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, the Department of Infrastructure and Treasury, alongside Manx Care, have worked to support Braddon and continue to do so. As to legal and financial constraints, that would be a matter for Braddon commissioners. The Honourable Member would need to seek information from them to clarify what, if anything, legally or financially is preventing them from, in his words, fully opening the facility.
Can the Minister advise whether Council of Ministers has taken advice on whether the road running in front of the Roundhouse entrance is a public highway through dedication, given its use as such for many decades? Does the Minister agree another legal dispute is best avoided through sitting down and working together in good faith to iron out differences and build consensus?
I'm not addressing any of the hypotheticals in that. It is not the Department or Manx Care or Government's responsibility to sort out issues that a local authority may be facing with the construction of one of their capital projects. However, the Government, as in the departments that I have mentioned, have prioritised resources across various departments to progress work that has been required to assist Braddon, including work to convey the land that they require for a dedicated access road, as was approved in Braddon's planning application. As a result, my understanding is that Braddon have all the requisite licences and permissions that they have requested to allow them to essentially crack on and get this access road constructed, and I believe that work is already underway.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Reigning sidecar TT champion and lap record holder Ben Birchall is preparing for a new chapter at the races this year without his brother and 14-time winner Tom Birchall, who retired from racing in late 2023. Ben's going to be joined this time by World Championship passenger Kevin Rousseau, and the duo say they're very much looking forward to the challenge of the Snaefell Mountain Course.
Can't wait. It's when we get to the launch time, then you know it comes real and certainly on its way. So yeah, excitement's building.
Yeah, same. Can't wait to be back on the road, and then yeah, it's same time long and then same time quick, so it's gonna happen soon now.
Kev ticks all the boxes that, well, let's not beat around the bush, it's the first time that I've been in this position in my career, and there's only Kev that I would choose, so I'm lucky to have him. I'm glad that he accepted my offer to come on board, you know, and dead professional, really good at his job. I've known him for a long time and sort of watched him rise up through the ranks in World Championship, and he's got good experience at the TT, and he's the right weight and the right size, and job's good.
It's nice, and he asked me to go with him, and then you know it, to be with Ben, it's yeah something then yeah you want to be. He's got a lot of experience. We've done only two laps together around the TT course with a tire test, but you can feel and straight away that he's fast and smooth, just what I like. So I can't wait to be back on the TT course.
Tires obviously a massive change coming in. You were part of that tire test along with a couple of the other sidecar teams as well. How's that new compound felt?
Really good. They were good straight away. here, and they're a professional company. They're behind the sport, and the development's ongoing. We're at a level that's good and safe, which is the most important bit, and it's a tyre that all the teams can use at any level. You know, it certainly is not a step back. It's a step forward, if anything.
What do you make of the competition, particularly as well? We've got the reigning world champions coming in this year too.
It's good. It's good for the sport. It's good for us. It's good for us all. You know, competition is the reason that you sign up and apply for a racing license. People want to see a race, and I think this year they're really gonna get one.
If you're looking for a taxi at night, you'll now have to pay higher rates. Earlier, after the body that sets the taxi price has made a series of changes. That story from Sean Cowper.
The Road Traffic Licensing Committee has brought in increases to its tariffs this week, as well as bringing Tariff 2 into force from 11 p.m. instead of midnight. Tariff 1 has gone up from £3.50 for the first 180 yards or 60 seconds to £3.80, while Tariff 2 has risen to £4.70 for the first 170 yards, a 40p increase. There's also a 50p increase to the surcharge for fares that start at the airport to £2. It's the first time tariffs have increased since 2022 and follows a period of consultation between the RTLC and the taxi trade. 39% of those surveyed by the committee supported no increase to the tariffs, while 46% wanted to see a 1-5% increase. Barry Murphy has been a taxi driver for more than 20 years, predominantly working nights. He says he only found out about the changes a week ago and believes more notice should have been given, particularly regarding the change to Tariff 2. He told Manx Radio he's been abused while working nights on a number of occasions and thinks this change will make the situation worse.
90% of the people will probably take this on the chin and think, OK, fair enough, it is what it is, I'm not happy about it, but we'll take it. But what about those 10% of people that are going to put me into a vulnerable position and maybe take this out on me? It would be wrong to think it won't happen, because it's happened to me before, as I said to you. And I think it's disgraceful. I've emailed the RTLC this morning, and I've pretty much told them I think it's disgraceful, and I've also emailed Alf Cannon this morning.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
18 minutes before 6, as far as the boats are concerned. Manxman left Heysham just after 1:30. She's safely on the link span in Douglas now, departing this evening at 8:15, getting to Heysham just before midnight, and the 02:15 departure from Lancashire gets in at 6 tomorrow morning. The fast craft is in Liverpool on the link span by the pierhead, leaving this evening at 7:15, back to Douglas at 10. Tomorrow morning's departure, 8:45, Manxman heads to Heysham. The first of four Council of Ministers roadshows took place last night in the south of the Isle of Man. The Listening to You event saw about 100 people who wanted to talk directly to those making high-level government decisions. Along for Manx Radio was Christian Jones.
And I'm very, very disappointed in the setup. I was expecting a more question time scenario where the Comin would take questions from the floor and then perhaps break out and we could speak to individual ministers. What we've got now is just a glorified parents' evening.
Well, it wasn't what I was expecting. I thought it would be more of a question time type Q&A, but I've heard people say and compare it to speed dating.
Let's give us a chance to question Comin, because they're the ones sitting at the table making those key decisions that are impacting us on a daily basis.
It did go to a more question time system later on, with numerous passionate questions being raised, from the causation of children's ill mental health, exceeding budgets, rates inequality, housing and public consultations. But one of the more contentious topics, the budget, couldn't be discussed in as much depth as some would have hoped, as there was no Treasury representation.
Really sorry, the Treasury Minister had unavoidable engagements this evening. He'll be here at the next roadshows. I appreciate it's been a disappointment.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon speaking there, and with my best estimate of around 100 people in attendance, why does he think that is?
Well, I think it means that people are wanting to engage. I think we can all accept there's a huge amount that's going on around us. There's a lot of concern in quarters. I absolutely get that. And people want to make sure that we are aware of those issues. I know there was a bit of disappointment that we didn't engage on assisted dying. I wanted to, just to say that I wasn't quite expecting quite so many questions on that, but I hope the audience accepted that as a parliamentary matter rather than a government matter. I think most of them probably were on subjects that you recognise are concerning people. It's nevertheless to have that reinforced and then get the chance to speak to people afterwards has been invaluable.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
In corporate news, JD Sports Fashion was up 6% after announcing it was buying retailer Hibbett for just over $1 billion. Headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama, the NASDAQ-listed Hibbett's got 1,169 stores across 36 states across the United States, trading under the Hibbett and City Gear fascias. And for a full daily market report, go to RamseyCrookhall.com. Millions of electric vehicles are at risk of being unsold over the next 2 years as a result of overproduction at a time of stalling consumer demand, according to private industry research covered by the Times newspaper. The global automotive industry expects to make just over 13 million electric vehicles this year, but global electric car sales are predicted to come in about 9.3 million for 2024. Oversupply of battery electric vehicles is forecast to worsen over the next 2 years, and the near to midterm outlook for electric vehicle sales is looking precarious, says the automotive retail expert Paul Bennett. If projections are accurate, it means that in 2024, 25 and 26, the global industry will be making in excess of 20 million more electric vehicles than the market can absorb. So price wars will happen and benefit the consumer, but potentially leave car makers in an EV pickle.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookhall.
UK and European markets were higher, with the FTSE 100 hitting an intraday record high. US stocks climbed, gold extended losses for a second day to hit a more than two-week low, and the firm US dollar had the yen locked at a fresh 34-year low. The numbers reported by Ramsey Crookhall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up just over a quarter of a percent, 8,044. The DAX in Frankfurt up 1.6% at 18,142. A short time ago, New York City, the Dow Jones Industrials up 0.5%, 38,446. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up almost 1.5% at 15,670. And the S&P 500 in the Midwest up just over a percentage point, 5,062. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is trading at $1, $24.3, €1, €16.2, and 23 South African rand, 77.8 cents. In commodities, gold's down 0.2%, $2,321 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude's up 1.6% at $87 flat.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookhall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
Quarter to three.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookhall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh. See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Faster, my good evening. 12 minutes before 6, live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. This is Manx Radio and this is Update. The Douglas South MHK say they've requested a meeting with Douglas Council to get a resolution on the Spring Valley changing rooms. Claire Christian and Sarah Maltby MHKs want them to be refurbished as soon as possible and a plan to be put in place.
I was first contacted back then and I went round the facility, which isn't there now, to see what it was like. Then more recently, in December, I contacted the football clubs and asked them how, because obviously nothing had happened in that time, and what was going on. Could they give me an update? And they had hope at that point because tenders were going out and they said, look, we don't need your involvement at the moment, but we'll come back to you if that's the case. And then both Sarah and I, we were contacted just a couple of weeks ago to say, would you mind coming to see what the facilities we've got now, which is the porter cabins, and helping us to negotiate with the Douglas City Council. We've arranged for a meeting towards the end of the month when all parties are available. That date's yet to be confirmed, but we've requested a date, and hopefully we'll be able to get all the stakeholders around the table to discuss and put a finer detail to it and a time and action plan.
The club as well have recognised that the specification perhaps that was put out by the Football Association was probably a bit too much from what they needed. It was based on maybe in the UK where a club might need, because they might be travelling for further afield to be able to go to use the facility. The Isle of Man's not quite got that issue, so they are willing to be able to work with the council, just as we are, to be able to find a resolution on this. We can't let this community asset go, and it's not just a playing field. This is something that brings together people, Special Olympics, women, children and men. So we really need to ensure that this place continues to be that place of belonging for those people, and we really will be working with the council and hopefully to get this community asset in place.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with football, and the current frontrunners of Division 2 meet in a crunch clash tonight as another busy programme of midweek Manx football fixtures gets underway. Second place Castletown will welcome leaders Onchan, who currently hold a 5-point advantage over the southern side, with both having played 18 games so far. Foxdale, sitting in third, 1 point behind Castletown and with 3 games in hand, head to Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Meanwhile, Peel will be out to maintain their standing at the summit of the Canada Life Men's Premier League tonight and could go 6 points clear again if they overcome a tricky test against St Mary's. Peel's nearest challengers, Ayr United, have been awarded a home walkover this evening against Rushen United, who are unable to field a team. At the foot of the table, Braddon's relegation from the top flight has now been confirmed as they have conceded their home fixture tonight against Corinthians. All of tonight's matches get underway at 6:30 p.m, except St John's United versus Ramsey in the Premier League, which starts at 7 p.m. In cycling, it's been a relatively positive day for the teams of Mark Cavendish and Sam Brand, respectively, on the later stage of the presidential cycling tour of Turkey this afternoon. Cavendish's Astana Kazakhstan teammate Max Kanter, who won yesterday's second stage, had another strong ride to claim a podium spot in third. Meanwhile, Brand's Team Nova Nordisk colleague Matthias Kopetsky got some UCI points on the board, finishing fifth. Brand himself came home in the travelling group just under 90 seconds behind the frontrunners. Cavendish was part of the field, which finished just under 4.5 minutes after the leader. Tomorrow's fourth phase of the event from Marmaris to Bodrum will start at around 9:45 a.m. UK time. And in athletics, there were two national titles secured by Manx athletes during the latest National Racewalking Championships in Leicester. Erica Kelly took victory and a season best in her race. Kelly's time of 48 minutes 24 seconds also met the England standard for the La Coruña 20 kilometre. Elsewhere, Tim Perry became 3K national champion in a personal best time.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way next, it's a 7:30 EasyJet from Gatwick on time, 5-8 returning patient transfer from Liverpool Logan Air on time, and the 10-9 Logan Air from London City is currently showing on time. Outbound, the 6 o'clock Logan Air to Liverpool and the 8 o'clock EasyJet return to London Gatwick on time. Remember, the Mountain Road's closed till about 10 tonight between Ramsey Hairpin and the Bungalow for TT preparation work and maintenance, and will be closed next Monday the 29th from 6 a.m. till Tuesday the 30th at 10. That's next Monday and Tuesday. Temporary lights in Bratton on Vicarage Road at Stevenson's Way, part of the old Castletown Road, closed between Port Sodrick, Glen Road and Marine Drive. Brighton Terrace is closed between Mount Bradder and Trinity Church in Upper Douglas, just by the Rosemount Pub, for gas main replacement. Hillside Avenue closed to Circular Road for window replacement. A section of Switzerland Road's closed for building work till November. Temporary lights on Summer Hill. Are they still there? Well, probably gone tomorrow, but anyway, just north of Blackberry Junction, some gas supply disconnections there. Temporary lights on the TT course at Salby Bridge for water main work and electrical work at Ballockhill Ferry Road, Colby. Got some lights there, and also there's water main work. Watch out for phase closures on the Starview Road for water main work, and at Gansey, temporary lights on Shore Road near the Mount Gorn Road for patching work, and in Antrus, Kindrockard Road's closed in phases for water main work.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Improving women's health services on the Isle of Man has to be a joint effort, according to Manx Care. It's hosted an event with industry specialists from the UK and the Isle of Man to share experiences and practices. Retired gynaecologist Michelle Moroney.
Accessing the right care at the right place at the right time, there's no doubt about that. And women may not always even want to come forward and go and see their general practitioner. They're too busy, they're looking after their family, they're putting everybody else before their own healthcare needs. So they don't even bother to access help and healthcare in the first place. So the challenges are to be able to make, first of all, healthcare easily accessible for women, and secondly, education, that what they've always presumed was just normal for them may well not be normal. They may be struggling with gynecological conditions, they're struggling with menopausal problems, and they just go, well, this is just something I have to put up with. So it's bringing forward that education as well. And then equally the challenge is will be that if we can encourage women to come forwards and seek medical advice, it's also to be able to equip those first contact professionals with the tools that they need to be able to give that advice and to listen to what women want.
The only radio station that's Manx, and we're proud of it. Celebrating 60 years, this is Manx Radio.
And MHK wants to see the financial thresholds for public sector housing changed. Onkham member Rob Callister explains why he's written an open letter to the Infrastructure Minister.
Firstly, I feel that the financial thresholds to access public sector housing, especially for young couples on the Isle of Man, is set too low. It is set below the minimum wage. So I'm asking the Minister to clarify why. The second part of my concerns is the fact that if the financial thresholds are set too low to access housing, then I believe that the financial thresholds when reviewing a tenancy after a 4 or 5 year period is also set far too low, which means that some people, some of the most vulnerable people and some people on very low income, such as a minimum wage, is now having to pay additional amounts in rent because the threshold has been set artificially too low. And I'm asking the Minister to review that and to set it at the correct level, which should be at the minimum of minimum wage on the Isle of Man.
You made the point you think this is going against the island plan, that economic strategy. Why do you think that is?
It's very clear that it does, because the island plan talks about, you know, creating opportunities for us all and for getting more of our working, more people into the workplace. Well, you cannot. Two people on the minimum wage on the Isle of Man as a couple cannot access social housing. That policy cannot be right. If we take an example that the threshold is set at £38,000 and one of those individuals as a couple is on the minimum wage, which is £21,000, that means the second applicant to approach social housing has to actually earn less than £15,000. So we are discouraging couples from accessing public sector housing on the island, and that needs to be addressed as a priority.
That's it for Update Tonight, brought to you from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6, Tammy Gindis with Howie and Beth, Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley at 6:30. The Folk Show with John Barker, and I'm back tomorrow at 5:30.
WINT.